to present themselves politically to Ngāi Māori in many a day. That's you, Shane Jones. That's from Annette. And also David Seymour. Danger Man, they're calling you, Shane. Thanks for joining us. Tēnā koe.
Morena, morena. I was in Annette Sykes. Asha's always a highly strung person.
What a response. What a response. Hey, listen. Well, don't you don't have to. That's not a command. It's a request. There is a hui on in the West Coast, and people have been asked to give you, Shane Jones, the finger.
I know, Mick. What a quixotic and largely irrelevant campaign. The wildlife people, of course, there's a young lady there, Kyla. I've met her a couple of times. Of course, she used to work for the Green Minister. She used to work for the Green Minister, Eugenie Sage, otherwise known as Miss Marple. So she's got her biases anyway. But the Wildlife Foundation are running a campaign with a fish finger, inviting people to give me the finger. By responses, my preference is the gold finger. But look, I just need to treat it as a part of political theatre. The meeting down there in Te Taipotini on Thursday is a minerals meeting. We're unveiling the initiatives we're doing to improve and reinvigorate the mineral sector, including some changes to the law that are wending their way through Parliament at the moment. And it does attract some negative attention, but I've been given a job to do, which is to boost export receipts and jobs. And there's a famous saying, bro, poverty in paradise is still poverty. And it's all very well saying we don't want to touch Papatūānuku because we live in paradise. Well, in order for paradise to be sustained, we need money, we need jobs, and we need economic resilience.
Don't you think Māori people would warm to your approach more if you were fighting to get dock lands returned to Ngāi Māori hands from whom they were initially taken, rather than drilling holes and extracting what's underneath?
Well, Doc did have a program of trying to make sense of stewardship land, which is a category of dock land, which is actually not dock land. It was just wasteland that was shoved in dock about 30, 40 years ago, and I'm all for rationalising that. But that's not a project that I'm responsible for. Look, the most important thing to bear in mind is that the fisheries resource is in rude health. Yes, there are some small examples where we can do better, but my advice to environmental groups such as the Wildlife Foundation is stick to your knitting. My advice to Kayla is look after the fern birds and leave the serious politics to those of us who have been democratically elected to fulfil our manifestos and to fulfil our coalition agreements, which we're doing through shepherding the fast-track piece of legislation into the House. And I know it's the subject of a protest coming up in June, but I think that people will very quickly learn the majority of Kiwis are concerned about their economic prospects, not being intimidated by green eco-catastrophization, which is largely an imagination. And, of course, the Green Party are no longer interested in economics. They're taken over by teeny boppers.
There are many who want you to be a leader for our people. You're well positioned to be just that. Does it worry you at all whether you're seen in a positive or negative light for Ngāi Māori? I know you're very dismissive of environmentalists or the green lobby, as you refer to them, but many Māori are shaking their heads at some of your political manoeuvres, Shane.
Well, I think the real challenge for the time that I've got the privilege of holding a ministerial warrant over the next several years is my kaupapa is shifting the dial. My kaupapa is resetting the economy as a part of a broader team. And I'm confident that once the regions see where the opportunities are, how they can be realised, I'm very much about creating opportunity, and I find a lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the narrative from the old guard, it's almost as if they're fighting the fights of the 1990s. I mean, we're 5 million people. Our per capita income, including Māori, is going down in the wrong direction. We're losing too much talent overseas, and the only way we can boost our prospects is that we've got to strengthen the foundations for future prosperity and foundations for economic opportunity. And I know that doesn't suit the narrative of fighting to recover every single entitlement and right that might be compromised as politics ebbs and flows, but Emara, there's now over 5.2 million people in the country, and many of them are migrants, and they're here for economic prosperity. And I don't think we should overlook the fact that we're now part of a bigger set of challenges, not just those challenges that are in front of the Waitangi Tribunal.
And the Waitangi Tribunal has been grossly under-resourced, has it not, across generations?
I think the Waitangi Tribunal, in many respects, has done a good job in laying the platform for redressing historical grievances. Where I think that they've got mission creep is they're now hell-bent on preventing our government from implementing the changes that we campaigned on. And I've said on your program before, it's quite a deep philosophical issue. Who has the greater moral legitimacy? Those of us who sought the views, the preferences, and have enjoyed the support of the democratic system, or those who have a conception of what the treaty principles should mean in any given situation and trot off to the Waitangi Tribunal and secure a result which was designed in many cases to frustrate the democratic will of those of us who went and tested our wares in front of the public. Now, I understand that the lawyers will say, well, the quest of treaty justice is eternal and it's beyond the ebb and flow of MMP politics and the life cycle of minority parties. Well, no. If you want to change your society, then you should seek a mandate to do so. And the last time I checked, it's a democratic mandate. And sure, we should never indiscriminately trample over people's rights. But just taking the treaty out of the law, in my personal view, is not actually going to trample on the rights of Māori parents or Māori children. Those rights are meaningless unless they are cared for in a warm, safe, secure home, and the primacy of the child should be beyond the constitutional niceties of treaty principles debates.
Always interesting. Having a cordial with you, Shane. Thanks very much. Have a good week. That's Shane Jones, New Zealand First Leader in Waiting.
Kia ora.
Te nākwe. Thanks very much, Shane. 603.